This is the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I'm a big star, you know.
Listen live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.
This is DCR.
Outside on the turf at the high school last night, Ben's graduation. Only two people are allowed, so Alex isn't even allowed to go, so he goes to play in his baseball game. And Sherry looks at me, she goes, you've got to be kidding me. She goes, you're streaming Alex's game on your phone?
I think this is pent up. This is the dogs. This is all of it. She's just ready to snap at you for anything at this point.
There might be some resentment for allowing the boys to be able to get two dogs.
I could at some point see Sherry midway through the Giants season where the Giants lose and you potentially could leave home for a couple days, maybe even a week.
Why?
I'm probably thinking about you the way you talk about the dogs. If I could just open the door and let them out, I would.
I would do it. Bye-bye. Have a good life.
This is DCR.
Don't threaten me. You tell her that if she leaves the door open, I would consider walking right out there.
On 98.7 ESPN.
Oh, if you missed the 5 o'clock hour, well, you missed a lot. But you know what? Strap in for the 6 o'clock hour, the 7 o'clock hour. Islanders tickets in the 7 o'clock hour with the biggest Islanders fan going. Damian Woody going to join us at 7:35. So, I mean, this is a very busy day. Rick, is this my understanding? You are going to be running point on CMT today?
Well, it's up to you guys. RJ asked me yesterday if I wanted to do it or not. And I said, well, it's not up to me. It's up to Dave and Chris and what they want. So I have it prepared.
Chris, what do you want? You want Rick to do it?
Dave, I think RJ does a great job of it, but I think the people should decide. I think this should be one of those things we run up to Poland and we see where we land at 6:45. Ooh. That's what I think we should do.
So, because we are a show of the people,
we give it to the people. Yeah, we give it to the people.
RJ, is that something you could quickly put together, a little poll that we could throw out there and see which direction it leans in?
I will happily do that. Having said that, though, based on prior results, I would tell Rick to start warming in the bullpen.
I got to tell you, if the on-air talent gets outvoted by the producer, we have real problems with you.
And we give it back to you.
Well, no, here's the people. Exactly. But here's the thing, though, Dave. I mean, I'd love to have Rick as an acting participant in CMT as opposed to facilitating CMT.
Yeah.
That would be my preference.
We could answer and then throw it back to him to answer his own question.
Yeah, but that's a lot, though. Him running point on it and asking all the questions and teeing everything up and then having to break it down and give the analysis of it. I don't know. That just seems like it's a little too much.
Seems like it's too much?
Yeah, that's too much.
Is that too much for you, Rick? Does that become too big of a plate?
But no, it's not even too big of a plate. It's just in my role in this situation is to facilitate. I'm another point guard. I'm the Chris Paul of the segment. I'm going to set you up. I'm going to set Chris up. You guys answer. Boom, boom, boom. And then we go to
you're going to give us
question.
Good looks, aren't you? We're going to get wide open looks.
It's going to be like...
And it's on us to knock them home.
Step in threes. Uncontested.
Paul is up, by the way. But you know what? RJ left a bad taste in my mouth.
Wow, what kind of taste? Salty?
Very interesting.
No, very bad when he did the Yankees question a couple weeks ago. And the Yankees, like, they've lost 5 out of 6. He's like, would you cuddle or marry or trash the Yankees to win the World Series? Like,
I don't think anyone's had a worse week than RJ had coming back from the bachelor party.
He was good this week so far, though.
No, but he bounced back. I'm just saying, like, all in, like, where the bachelor party finished, like, we're expecting great stories. We just hung out and watched soccer.
I've heard nothing except they watched soccer on the bachelor party.
That's it.
That's some bachelor party, RJ. I can't wait for yours. What are you going to do in New Orleans?
More soccer, probably.
Help rebuild a little human foosball in the
help rebuild
in the
city. Habitat for Humanities when you guys go down there.
Listen, don't mock our interests.
We're going to go plant trees.
You really got to go.
Come on, RJ. And then the week was brutal. I mean, the show sheet wrong.
Well, you guys got me questioning everything.
He's feeding me stats.
Listen, you'll have to find out what happens there. The stories probably aren't going to leak out this side. So if you want to know what happens, you'll have to be there. I gave you the dates.
All I know is that RJ is dominating right now. In running point on CMT today. Dominating.
See, RJ, you know what RJ is now? He's that parent that like keeps feeding you stuff that keeps you sick and you don't even know it.
Oh, that's terrible.
That's what he's doing to us with these false stats.
So you can't get out of bed?
Yeah, like he's sending me stuff. I have to double check it now.
He has pancreatitis.
That William Hill stat that Rick will read once he wins the poll at 6:45, Dave, you will find fascinating. Fascinating.
I look forward to that.
Yeah, but I'm sitting here looking at different odds right now, RJ, and it's not It's not the same as the
odds
you
gave. Spoil it. Don't. I want to go to Gibby in the car.
I'm seeing different odds here.
Well, of course. This is what RJ does.
No, I forwarded the timestamp. Things could change between now and then, but the timestamp I sent yesterday.
And what's your excuse for giving me misinformation with Chris Middleton shooting last week?
I blame the keyboard because they typed the wrong.
You're a blame guy. You're a big blame kind of guy.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though, RJ. I don't want to start giving out odds that aren't up to date. I want up to date odds. I don't want to be like in a situation where I'm talking about, you know, Jack Leiter having a one hitter when, you know, yesterday when it happened during the weekend. Like, we can't be in that spot.
Listen,
that may or may not have happened somewhere.
Call Dave's guy. I'm sure he has many guys.
Dave, call your
guy.
My grandmother's not going to those underground casinos anymore.
She doesn't go?
No, she's done. That's it. Passed it. Her boyfriend passed away, so she has no one to go with.
That was a good time. Back in the day, I would have taken her. We would have had a blast. Nana and I? Oh.
Now, so now you're going to go. Now you're going to talk about dating my grandmother now.
I didn't. You know what? I didn't say anything about dating. I said we could gamble our faces off together. Back in the day, I don't do that anymore, though.
Listen, I see your mom naked, and I'm like, okay.
Let's go to Gibby in the car. Good morning, Gibby, here on 98.7.
What's up, DCR? Good morning, good morning. So I don't want to, like, give Kenny a hard time, but I am a 1972 Islander fan. I bleed blue, and I despise the Rangers. I would never root for the Rangers. I would never, ever root for the Yankees. When I read that New York newspaper that starts with the sports in the back, when I get to the page that has the Yankees, I just flip it. When I get to something, in fact, last week when the Islanders were in the midst of the Boston series and they had an article about the Rangers, like, are you kidding? The Islanders are in the middle of a playoff series and you have an article about the Rangers? Like, what's wrong with that? So, to me, you know, if you're a real fan, okay, and you've had your nose rubbed in it as a Mets fan from Yankee fans for all these years, I can't even fathom rooting for the Yankees. Why would I ever, ever root for the Yankees? So to me, it's crazy. And in fact, I'm dying to go to an Islander game and take my almost 16-year-old, but he's not vaccinated because we have a pediatrician, Dr. Arnie.
We are getting old.
Arnie's the best. Arnie is the best. There's no such thing as terrible twos, just terrible parents. Yeah, he's the best. He's the best pediatrician on the island.
It was a great call. It got off the rails in a hurry, though, huh?
Oh, yeah, he was going in, but he was dropping some little nuggets so he would know that I know. But we got a complex. That's fine. I mean, Islanders fans.
But he's right. You cannot be a fan. I'm sorry. You can't be a fan of the Rangers and root for the Islanders or vice versa. You cannot do it.
I think there's levels of fandom, though. Right, like you're a different level than most people.
No, that's fair. But if you are a legitimate fan, if you love the Rangers, if you sit there and watch the games and you love the Rangers, there's no way that you can root for the Islanders in this series. There's no way. Now, if you're just a very casual fan, that's one thing. But a real legitimate Rangers fan cannot root for the Islanders in this series. And you know I'm right. Whether you admit it or not, at this moment, you know I'm right.
No, I think you're right, but I just think like guys like Kenny, I think Kenny just loves sports. Like he watches sports to be entertained and have a good time.
But then don't sit here and tell me that you're a Rangers fan.
Well, that's his favorite team, but he's not like it's not to the point where he has any ill will or hatred towards the other teams.
He's a casual observer of sport, and he would prefer the Rangers win, but he doesn't really care that much.
Yeah, but I think there's a lot of people like that.
All
like,
right.
Well, who's your favorite NHL team? Well, I mean, the Rangers are my favorite team, but, you know, I'm a fan. Like, if the Islanders are playing well, I'll watch the Islanders. Like, there's a very small percentage of people that will leave their house if their team loses a regular season game.
I think that's fair, but I still also believe that it's a hard and fast rule. You cannot root for your arch rival under any circumstance. Who's the one team that the Rangers fans dislike the most? It's the Islanders, and it's vice versa. So don't give me this business where it's okay to root for the Islanders. It's not.
Yeah, but if one of your closest friends is like a former Islander and he's like, hey, well, can I come over so we can watch this game? The least you could do is have him over, I think.
You want to come over? I'll leave the house. That's fine. You need a place to
wow.
watch the game. I'm not watching the game with you and rooting for the Islanders and watching you get excited when they score horrible goals on Vasilevsky again. I'm not doing it.
I'm going to come to your house. You can leave. I'm going to watch the game, watch the Islanders win, and then I'm going to take a huge poop on your floor and blame it on the dogs. How's that?
That's fine. Uh-oh.
Why can't you just be supportive? That's all I'm asking. You don't
have to
root. Just be supportive.
I've done nothing. Nothing. Root for whoever you want to root for. I think you should root for the Islanders, but give me a break. If the Rangers were in the exact same position, you'd be rooting for the Rangers right now?
I was doing Rangers post-game shows with
you
Alan
didn't
on the radio.
The question. You didn't answer the question. If the Rangers were up 1-0 over Tampa at this moment, you would root for the Rangers right now.
All right, what's the guarantee? Am I guaranteed Stanley Cup, though? Just give me some parameters. If I root for them to get through the Eastern Conference Finals, or now, I mean, the semifinals,
right.
do they win the cup or not? Can I get a guarantee?
I can't. Listen, if I knew the Islanders were going to lose in the Stanley Cup Finals, I wouldn't care if they won the series or not. I can't give you that answer. The answer is if they win this series, they have a much better chance of winning the whole thing because they moved on and they're one of two teams left standing.
Vegas looked good last night, though.
I will say that.
Here's the thing, though. Selfishly for me, Rangers win. We get to talk. I mean, a lot of hockey if the Rangers win.
That's mm-hmm. quite the risk.
But yeah, you're right. But now I'm rolling the dice because if they win the cup, there's multiple weeks off if the Rangers had won the cup.
Oh, really? But you wouldn't just be happy for friends that enjoy the Rangers winning the whole thing?
I'd be happy for Quinny if he was still the coach because Quinny's a friend of mine that coaches the team. Like you didn't play on the team. You have nothing to do with the team.
If the Islanders won the cup, I'd be happy for you.
No, I'll take it.
I'd be happy
I'll take
for you.
That. Yeah, but like, say, if you were, like, how about this one, though? If you were being serious right now and you weren't lying to my face.
I'm not lying. You know what? I never lie. If there's one thing that we should have learned throughout us doing the show together, I tell you the truth whether it gets me in trouble or not. So go ahead. What's your question to me?
If I thought you were genuinely happy for me when the Islanders win the cup, I would consider maybe bringing the cup over to your house. Let Ben Alex have a sip of something, whatever they want, out of the cup. And then, I mean, you can't put a price tag on that kind of experience for
kids. That would be phenomenal. I would love that.
But I can't do that because you're not supportive.
Well, maybe I'm not supportive, and I'm fine with that. But I would be genuinely happy for you if the Islanders won. I would not be happy overall, and my life would be misery for a few days, but I would be happy for you.
Just think about this. I could take the cup with me on the podcast. Welcome aboard.
Nice. Hey, welcome aboard. That?
I haven't had a big guest like that.
You mean the cup, right?
The cup, yeah.
Here, I mean, the guy is the worst. He is the worst.
And welcome aboard.
And you wonder why I don't like you as much as I like Kay. Mm. This is it right here in a nutshell.
No, please. You have a bizarre infatuation with Kay. I don't want to go there.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
You're absolutely right.
Catch the show on demand wherever and whenever you want. Just subscribe to us, rate us, and review us wherever you get your podcasts.
Yankees are 9 games behind Tampa on June 15th. That is it's almost a number you can't recover from.
Yeah, it's getting late early, Dave. And I said this coming into the month of June, like if the Yankees get out of this month and they find themselves back double-digit games from Tampa, I mean, it's pretty much a wrap in terms of the division. And now it's a fight to be able to claw yourself into the wild card game. Like that's what we would be looking at. It wouldn't be the Yankees setting themselves up to have the easiest path to accomplish the ultimate goal, which is winning a championship. But I mean, this is one of those situations where because of the way the team is constructed, because they play so poorly when it comes to the fundamentals of the game, like you have to point to the general manager as Brian Cashman as being the issue with this team. Like this is going to fall on him. Like I know everybody's looking at Aaron Boone and, you know, saying that the team is not playing up to expectations because of the manager. But I mean, ultimately, this is the group of guys that Brian Cashman put together. This is the team that he assembled. And they're falling short of the expectations that everybody around baseball had for them coming into this year.
Yeah, and I don't know how they fix it. I mean, that for me is the biggest thing.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's Rick, it's not like a trade unless you trade for, you know, like a Mike Trout or something unrealistic like that. What one player comes in here and fixes the Yankees right now?
I don't know if there's one player. I mean, there's some things that they do need to address, though. I mean, Voit's going to be back at first base, which will be big for you because, you finally got to get some sort of consistent production from first base. That leaves, I mean, LeMahieu back at second, right? I mean, they never thought they were going to bring in Odor to all of a sudden be their everyday second baseman batting, you know, third in their lineup. That wasn't the goal, I don't think, right? So I think Torres has been, I mean, he's not hitting for power, but, I mean, defense, especially the last couple games, has been really good. Urshela has been steady at third base. Yeah, I think, Dave, the thing that they need to do, because I think you may have to the two things is, especially with the Severino setback, starting pitching is a huge concern outside of Gerrit Cole right now. Because I trust Cole. Herman's been good, but Tyone has not. Like, Tyone's been a problem.
He's been bad.
Okay, he's been bad. And none of the young guys have really stepped up yet. So I would look to maybe address that. And then center field is a problem. You got no Hicks for the rest of the season. That's a problem. You need someone that you can put in center field every day and feel good about it. Because right now, Gardner playing every day, that's not why he's here. He was not signed to be an everyday player.
Mm-mm.
He was a guy who can, if you need him in center, defensive replacement, you need him in left, veteran leadership. That's why he's here. He's a left-handed bat. I mean, you're playing Andujar right now in left field because of his bat, but he's not been... It's just, again, it's such a poorly put together team because we're willing to overlook all those things that they don't do well when they're hitting home runs and they're one of the best offensive teams in baseball. Because if you're one of the best offensive teams in baseball and your bullpen is great, I mean, you're going to do what the Yankees have done over the past couple of years, which is win a ton of regular season games. So we're not talking about...
The bullpen is still great.
No, it is, but they're not scoring runs,
better with Britton now.
But that's the issue, though. If you don't score any runs, it doesn't matter how good your bullpen is. You're not closing out games because you're not winning a lot of games at the moment. I mean, they've had, 34 games where they scored three or less runs. That's not who the Yankees are supposed to be. Like, when you score a ton of runs, like, the Yankees have been able to out-hit bad defense and, you know, lack of fundamentals. They don't do it. Dave, this team does not do a lot of things well. They don't. Outside of having a really good bullpen and Gerrit Cole, I mean, Judge has been good, but defensively they're not good. They don't run the bases well.
Terribly.
They hit into a ton of double plays. I mean, it's a DJ LeMahieu who hasn't been the same guy. Stanton can't stay healthy. You got a 30-year-old DH that you're paying almost $30 million a year that can't play the field for the next 6 years after this year.
That's right. He couldn't even go out into the field one game over the weekend with days off on Friday and Monday.
Yeah, it's a problem. It really is. Especially because, I mean, again, it's another night last night. It looks like a Rosarena is starting to come around, too. I mean, that Tampa team is just a well... But it's a good team, though. Like, they play good defense. They got a really good bullpen. They get the... I mean, they're squeezing the most out of they can out of the starters.
They probably not catching Tampa. Well. You're probably not going to catch Tampa.
Nine games down.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. Probably not going to catch Tampa.
All right, so now you look at wild card. So right now, you're four games behind Houston. You got Cleveland ahead of you, and you got Toronto ahead of you right now.
This is a big series now.
It's a big series. Yeah, it's a big series. But, I mean, that's where you're at. I mean, listen, the Yankees were at one point, they went 23-9, right? That's a nice little run you went on. Like, they got to find a way to get back to that. And I don't know with what they have right now if that's going to be possible. But even if you make a move just to kind of give your team a kick in the butt a little bit, like, we still believe. Because if they go, I mean, if this team continues to play the way they're playing, and they're so, I don't even know what, they're lifeless, is that, you know what? You're probably not going to make the playoffs.
Oh, my God. Mm. If this team doesn't get a wild card, Chris, I mean, is there a bigger disappointment that you can even remember in sports for underperforming?
Probably.
A top five team in the league?
I mean, Dave, I couldn't imagine that. I couldn't imagine that. I don't even want to think about that, Dave. I mean, I know there's still a lot of time for them to recover and pull out of this nosedive, but I just don't see it happening just based on what we're seeing from this team of late. Like, they can't put it together, at least for any significant amount of time. Like, you can't go on one of these stretches 2 or 3 weeks where they're winning a lot of ball games. They had one of those this year. I want to say it was late April where they went on a stretch and Stanton was on a tear. Like, you saw them winning a lot of baseball games. But I don't see them being able to consistently do that, Dave. I don't. And I would love for them to be able to make some kind of move to try to instill some urgency in that clubhouse. But I don't even know what that move looks like, let alone know whether or not Brian Cashman feels like it's justified just based on what this team has shown him through a third of the season. I don't know if it's even a situation where they feel like they could mortgage some of their future in order to try to improve this club in the here and now. I don't know that makes sense either. I don't want to throw in the towel on the season, but based on what this team looks like, I don't know if there's enough that can be done to improve this team to the point where you can say there would be a lock to make the postseason.
Yeah, but I don't. You say mortgage the future. I mean, this is their future right now.
Like, right, they're supposed to win now.
Yeah, they don't. I mean, this is their window right now. They don't have the luxury of just throwing in the towel on the season. They can't do it. Like, Brian Cashman has to find a way. Like, it could be small pieces. It doesn't have to be a big name, but he's got to do something. Look at the amount of money you spent over $205 million.
Yeah, $205 million. Yeah.
Like, you can't afford to start wasting years of Garrett Cole
for 500. Ugh.
It's not even just 500 though, Dave. It's the way it's looked.
Oh, it's dreadful. I would be sick about it. Now, your best friend Michael Kay from the Yankees, and of course the Michael Kay Show, 2 to 6:30 every weekday here on 98.7 ESPN. He says these issues go way beyond the manager.
I don't think this is a Boone problem. This is a roster problem. This is a roster with no athletes on it, none, except for Judge. They get hurt. They are obviously not that high in baseball IQ. And I said it before, if you have to blame somebody, you got to blame the front office. They put this team together. And I'm a Brian Cashman fan. This is a poorly constructed team. They rolled the dice on a couple of things. Now, in fairness to Brian, he's working with a dictate from above not to go over 210. Now, I don't even blame the ownership for that. $205 million in payroll should be plenty good enough to win. Look at Tampa Bay. They do it with 60. Red Sox are doing it with less than 205. So please don't tell me that hamstrung them that much. This is a poorly constructed roster.
So how do you get
Here's the thing, though. I hate to point to one thing, but when you take everything that Kay just said and you piece it all together, right, I think one of the biggest issues in – I agree with everything that Kay said, but it ends up being that you now have an artificial salary cap. Like, yeah, the Yankees are spending a ton of money, but it's how you spend the money. Are you spending good money? And if you're going to tell me you're staying under, like, you're not, like, I don't care what happens. Like, you're not, for nobody, you're staying under the 210. Well, then you have to be creative with how you're spending your money in different places. Like, Cole, awesome. Great signing, exactly what you needed. Right, bullpen arms, Chapman, all those guys, good money. LeMahieu, everyone was screaming for him. Okay, you spent the money there. The Stanton contract is killing them right now.
Terrible.
It's killing them because it screws up your lineup. It hamstrings you with your lineup. You can't rely on him to be in the lineup every day. That's another big problem.
He's so fragile.
And then think of the things you could do right now with that $30 million. Like the areas that you could address with the $30 million.
I mean, you could have added a legitimate starter. You could have added two legitimate bats. I mean, that's a lot of money, $30 million.
Right now in this moment, who would you rather have making that kind of money, Bryce Harper or Stanton?
I think that you'd rather have Harper.
What do you mean you think you'd rather have Harper? I mean, it's a left-handed bat that can play the outfield.
Well, yeah.
Any position
more
in the outfield.
On him.
Well, you couldn't. The problem was you couldn't. That was the issue. You couldn't.
They saw the shiny toy, and rather than think of what it meant for the long term, they just jumped at it.
Yeah, like, I can't believe, look at this deal we're getting on this player.
Yep.
Like, you don't think that Jeter was, like, couldn't believe they actually
sure he
did this deal?
But you know what? They bought him high, too. They bought him when he was as good as his stock would ever have been.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. to wear a swim shirt.
Looking for more access to the show? Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at DCR on ESPN.
It's all on the shoulders of one Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant and supporting cast.
Yes. Kevin Durant and friends.
Kevin Durant and friends. So, I mean, this would be the time that those guys would step up, I would imagine. You would hope. Back in Brooklyn. Joe Harris. And Joe Harris has to be better than he was in Milwaukee. He has to be, or they have no shot. Has to be. I mean, he can't shoot that poorly. Like, he has to chip in.
Again. He's too good of a shooter.
Someone has to be a threat. Like Chris was talking about this earlier. Someone has to be a threat other than Kevin Durant. Because Drew Holiday's a good defensive player. Giannis is a former defensive player of the year. You saw what P.J. Tucker can do. Right? Like, if all of a sudden, like, that's the only thing we need to focus on or worry about, is shutting down Kevin Durant and being physical with Kevin Durant, and the referees allow them to play as physical as they played in game four? I mean, you tell me. I don't love their chances.
No, I don't know how you could feel good about Brooklyn being able to win game five if Kevin Durant's the only one that comes to the party. Like, they're going to need those guys. They're going to need those other guys to step up in a big way. Like, they have to find ways to be productive players. Joe Harris is going to have to knock down open shots. You can't play up to your average of 11 points over the last 10 games. Like, that can't happen. Like, Joe Harris needs to have a big night. I'm talking about 20-plus points. Like, he has to be that secondary guy for Brooklyn. Blake Griffin, Jeff Green, those guys have to do their thing. Mike James, he's going to have to step up and have a big game. I mean, it's just, you know, you can't continue to put all of this on Kevin Durant and just be spectators on the offensive side of the floor. It can't look like what we saw in the third quarter in game four, where Kevin Durant goes for 16 points and you only got two other guys that make field goals. Like, those other guys have to be a factor. So, I mean, we'll see what ends up happening. You know, they'll have the opportunity to have the energy of the home crowd behind them. So hopefully that propels them. But I got to say this, guys. I mean, just from what I saw in game four, I don't have a whole lot of optimism that the Brooklyn Nets are going to be able to get this done. I really don't.
I don't know how you could. Here is Green. You can hear him every weekday on 98.7 ESPN from 10 a.m. till noon. He says it's all on KD, and he's got to do it all by himself right now.
Can Kevin Durant, and could this be more ironic, Kevin Durant, of whom the great criticism has always been that he needs to surround himself with the great players. He chooses to go places rather than any championships he won in Oklahoma City would have counted for 10 that he wins anywhere else. So after making the extraordinary move to go to Golden State and then after making the extraordinary move to come to Brooklyn, now he finds himself in a situation where the season is on the line tomorrow night and he's got to do it by himself.
You think if he plays well and they lose, nobody will beat him up over that. But he's got to play well.
Yeah, but don't you expect him to play? I mean, I expect
him to
play
do.
Well.
I don't, listen, I understand what Chris is saying. I don't think this is such an obvious, like Milwaukee just goes out there and wins this game. I give the Nets a chance to win this game, a legitimate chance to win this game tonight.
It's going to have to look different, though. Right? It's not going to be like, you know, you're going to have to keep up with how we score because that's not who Brooklyn is currently without Harden and Kyrie.
No, they're not going to put up 118 points tonight. There's no way.
I got to tell you, there's a hell of a lot of pressure on Coach Bud. If you got no James Harden and no Kyrie Irving, even if you're on the road in a playoff series, like if you don't win this game tonight, like I mean, you could be talking about the Bucks finding a new head coach if you're talking about those two guys being out. And somehow, some way, the Nets find a way to be able to close out the Bucks.
If you're Milwaukee and you can't win this game tonight, just pack it. You're never going to win anything, really. This is not a silver platter for you right now.
Exactly, Dave. And so if we're talking about that now, you better believe that they feel that way in that locker room. There's going to be that sense of urgency from the Bucks. Let's not return the favor to the Brooklyn Nets, what they did for us in game three, letting us win that game. Let's not give them this game, especially when they're missing two of their big three. Like, I mean, if I was a player in that Bucks locker room, this is a must-win game. Like, I get it, it's the playoffs and every game is important, but this is must-win. This is a golden opportunity that you have to find a way to take advantage of. Because you got to think, even if James Harden is able to come back in game six, he's going to be compromised, and that game six would be in your building. So you have the opportunity to be able to close out the Nets at home.
Like, I can't believe how wide open the NBA postseason is now. I mean, you could see Phoenix winning it. I mean, I think the Clippers could win it. I think Utah can win it. I wouldn't be if Philly could win it. The Nets, if they got healthy, could win it. And Milwaukee could. I think you could argue that legitimately there's probably five or six teams that could win the title right now.
You feel like the only team that probably can't win it is
Atlanta.
That's it. And Atlanta right now is giving Philly all they can handle right now.
Oh, man, that was a hell of a comeback yesterday.
How bad was Embiid in the second half last night?
He was bad, but I thought the Hawks were awesome, especially the end of that third quarter when they went on that run. I mean, John Collins had a couple tip dunks. Bogdanovich went crazy. Like, it was awesome to see that comeback. Atlanta's a fun team to watch.
They are.
Like, they can't win it all, but that's a fun team to watch.
How good is Trae Young? My God.
Yeah, he's really good. He's really, really good.
He is fun. All right, let's bring him in. Omar in Brooklyn. Good morning, Omar.
Good morning. How are you? Let me talk about this game. I wanted to ask all of you as a sports fan. Do you think Kevin Durant, whatever he has done in the past, I don't think as a sports fan and what the 2 years with the injury and he has not played full season, I don't think he has an aim to play a game like LeBron James did against Boston Celtics. That is all on him. I don't want to listen to it. You run away from the limelight. You run away. You want all the stars with you. You want it easy way. This is the hardest. It is becoming harder and harder for you. Yes, sometimes you have to show up. LeBron had a full year after losing to Dallas Mavericks in the finals and choking that final. He had all he had to go through, all the pain that he went through, mentally and physically. He was ready to take that step next game, and he played the best game I have ever seen a sportsman play that game. I don't think Kevin Durant has it, and he runs away from the limelight. Do you think everybody says Kevin Durant is a great talent? Let me see it tonight. I want to see Kevin Durant. If everybody thinks he is the best player in the universe, show me. I'm a Knicks fan. You run away from my team? You don't want long night? Here it is for you. All the accolades for you. You win tonight? You will be the king of NBA and basketball. You don't win tonight? Everything will be thrown on you. Show me you have guts. Show me you have the game. If you don't have it, that's why you always ran away from it and you don't have it. Simple as that.
Wow. Strong words from Omar. Come on. If he goes out there and puts in 42 and they lose this game and he shoots really well and gets 14 rebounds and dominates and they still lose, that's not a bad look for Kevin Durant.
No, it's not a bad look for Kevin Durant, but it's just unfortunate for Brooklyn just because they've gone all in on the next couple of years being able to try to win it with the big three. Like, it would be a missed opportunity, and, you know, you're going into next year with a situation where there's going to be even more pressure just because you know, two of the big three have options in terms of what they could do after next season, whether or not they're going to stay here. So, I mean, I just feel like, you know, if they don't get this done, if they don't win tonight, they're probably not going to make it out of the second round. And it's, again, a missed opportunity due to injuries. And it just puts that much more pressure on the Brooklyn Nets going into next season. But as far as Kevin Durant is concerned, I don't really know how you could ask him to do more than what he's doing in the playoffs this year. I mean, the guy's averaging 31-8. He's shooting 50% from the field, 42% from three, and he's shooting 90% from the free throw line. I don't know what you want Kevin Durant to do, especially if he's missing James Harden and Kyrie Irving. Those are such big cogs in what the Brooklyn Nets are supposed to be this year.
See, that's the thing, though. I mean, it almost like now with just KD, Brooklyn goes from, I mean, KD, Kyrie, and Harden. That's a team that you expect to win a championship. You get rid of one of those guys and it's just, you know, the two. Are you guaranteed they're going to win a championship? No, but you feel good. At least they're coming out of the East.
They could get there, yeah.
Yeah,
they could get
there. Certainly win this series. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, but it's like, so now you're in a spot where it's just KD. Okay, he's the second best player on the planet, right? Or whatever you want to call him. But it's him and some guys. Like Milwaukee, I never felt like Milwaukee was a team that if all the teams in the postseason were healthy, that Milwaukee was a team that was going to win the championship.
Because they wouldn't.
Okay,
because
it's...
Rick, if the Nets were healthy, they would have gotten swept by Brooklyn in this series.
Okay, so here's my point, though. So it's Giannis... And really no other. It's not Giannis and another superstar. It's Giannis and some really good players. Like Middleton's a good player. Drew Holiday's a good player. But that's a team that now, when you look at the series with where they're at in game five, KD's the best player. Giannis is the second best player. Now, give me the rest in order. Best players in the series now. The next two, maybe even three, are on Milwaukee.
Yes. Yep. Yes. He can make a statement tonight, though. If he goes out there and wills his team to a victory, we turn on the microphones tomorrow night, and we are just waxing poetic about the greatness of Kevin Durant. He can do that tonight.
Yeah, he can, Dave, but if he goes out there and struggles, I think everybody would understand why.
Yes.
It's not necessarily Kevin Durant shrinking in the moment. It's just that they're missing a lot of their team. Keep in mind that they mortgaged a lot of what the Nets were in years past in order to be able to acquire James Harden. So this is not a team that came into this year with a whole lot of depth. This is a situation where it's like, okay, you got rid of all of those pieces so you could have a big three, and if you're missing two of the three, then the team is not going to be able to be the same. They're not going to be able to play up to the level that the teams left in the playoff field currently can. So, yeah, I don't think that... You know, a bad performance by Kevin Durant in the Brooklyn Nets tonight is some kind of indictment on the player Kevin Durant is.
I agree with you, but you will hear that tomorrow. If he goes 7-23 and doesn't play well, I won't do it, you won't do it, Rick won't do it, people will do it. I promise you we're going to get calls on that tomorrow. Pedro Hernandez, I can't understand Omar at all, but I absolutely love it when he calls into the show. All right, let's go. We'll find out who won the poll and who's hosting CMT. And now it's time.
To cuddle.
I'll tell you what, Rico. I can chase him down. I'll hold him down for you.
To marry.
I don't want to give up the meat.
Or to trash.
I think I'm emotionally broken.
That is the question.
So I'll tell you what, I'm going to hand this off, but I'm proud of my effort. I got doubled up, 63.3 to 36.7, but I'm proud of my efforts. Rick, you will run point on this, but I'm happy with that. I'll take a moral victory.
You should be happy. Congratulations, RJ. To get a third of the votes against Rick is very well done, buddy.
I live for moral victories, and with that, your host.
I voted for RJ as well.
That's
you
funny.
Probably did.
That's funny. I voted for you.
So those cancel each other out. All right, here we go. Let's get started. So we talked about the Yankees. Who's to blame for where the Yankees are at? So I'm going to give you three. Do you blame Brian Cashman, Aaron Boone, or the players? Cuddle, marry, trash.
Cash, Boone, players. All right. I'm going to start out by marrying. So the most blamed is the one that I marry, correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to marry the players.
And welcome aboard.
Shut up. They look. They're like slogging through here. Watching the Yankees run the bases and their lack of intensity, I will marry the players. I will cuddle the cash, and I will trash the Boone.
Okay, so we got disagreement right out of the gates. I am completely disagreeing with Dave Rothenberg. I'm going to marry Brian Cashman in terms of the blame. And listen, we've talked about this team not having a lot of different ways that they could win. But, I mean, this is not a phenomenon that's new to the Yankees. I mean, we talked about this last year. We talked about it the year before. There isn't a ton of versatility when it comes to the guys on this roster and being able to win a lot of different ways. So I'm going to marry the guy that put this roster together because this team, this group of players is limited. So I'm going to marry Cash for the blame. I'm going to cuddle the players, and I'm going to trash Aaron Boone.
I agree with Kenny.
Wow.
I mean, it's some of the stuff the players are doing right now, man. Like, it's stuff in Little League you learn. Like, Odor running the bases the other day, there's no excuse for that.
Watching him cross over and run in front of the baseball, really, it's terrible base running.
There's no excuse for that. All right, here we go. Next one up. So, I'm sure you guys have seen this. MLB is expected to announce today that they're going to suspend players caught with any foreign substance for 10 days with pay.
10 days or 10 games?
10 days.
10 days.
10 days, okay.
That's how it works in Major League Baseball. It's days.
So if you planned it at the right time, if you're a starter, you could really, in theory, miss one start.
Yeah, you got a big one? Yeah, you spider attack your face off because you're getting paid still.
That's right. There is no loss of pay with this.
All right, so here we go. So the crackdown is going to begin next Monday. Question for you guys. From that Monday till the end of the season, how many pitchers end up getting suspended? Less than 5, 5 to 10, or 10 plus?
5 to 10, or 10 plus.
Okay. I'm going to marry 10 plus. I mean, there are going to be some guys that are just going to say they're going to have to catch me doing it in order for me to stop doing it. And I think that attitude is going to be more pervasive than even officials in Major League Baseball think. So I'm going to marry 10 plus. I'm going to cuddle 5 to 10, and I'm going to trash less than 5.
Just to conserve time and let Rick have a lot of it, I will completely agree across the board with Chris Canty.
All right, here we go. I like where you guys are going right now because I get more questions in. This is nice. I like the pace. I like the tempo.
That's right. TTS.
All right, here
baby.
We go.
TTS.
I can't believe this. So I've been going, I've been scouring the internet right now for NBA finals odds. Because RJ sent me some odds, and I don't...
Win the championship?
To win the championship.
Okay.
That I don't necessarily believe. So I'm not going to ask you that question because I want to be 100% with the odds. I'm looking at odds right now that were updated on June 13th, which I have a hard time believing, that still, for some reason, have the Nets as the favorite.
There's
to
no
win
way
the
that
NBA
that's
finals.
Accurate. Well, you said it's updated on June 13th. That's two full days ago now.
Yeah, but June 13th, I mean, that's Sunday.
Yeah, but it could be before they even played Game 4.
Mm-hmm.
It says it was after the Suns game.
I don't know. But, I mean, now we find out that there's no way that they can be the favorites to win the
game. No, that's why I'm not going to ask the question, because that makes zero sense.
They're underdogs in the game tonight. I Milwaukee's a 4-point favorite.
Okay, so to simplify it, I'm going to make it Eastern Conference. Right now, cuddle, marry, trash to win the Eastern Conference. The Bucks, the Nets or the Sixers?
You know, obviously this has changed dramatically. I'm gonna marry Milwaukee. And it's almost just because I don't have confidence in the other team. Listen, Brooklyn was, you wouldn't even have asked this question if not for the injuries. So I'll marry Milwaukee. I'll cuddle Philadelphia. And I'll trash the Nets. And it's solely due to where we are with the injuries.
Yeah, I agree across the board with Dave. The only thing I will say is if I knew that Embiid and what we saw from him in the second half was just poor performance and not injury related, I would probably change my answer. But as it stands right now, I think you have to marry the Bucks, cuddle the Sixers, and trash the Nets.
All right, here we go. Moving along, a little Major League Baseball. I like to get every sport involved. Here we go, David or Christopher, whoever's up first. National League MVP at the moment. I'm going to give you three names to cuddle, marry, trash. I'm going to give you Ronald.
I know where you're going to go. You're going to go Acuna.
Yep.
You're going to go DeGrom.
Yep.
And you're going to go, because I know you so well, Nick Castellanos.
Incorrect.
Oh.
That was the fourth. I'm going Fernando Tatis. Mm-hmm.
Ooh, okay. I'm married to DeGrom. I had this guy as my preseason NL MVP, and it's crazy to think this, but he's exceeding the expectations that I had for him coming into this year. Like, we haven't seen a pitcher do what DeGrom is doing in recent memory, so I'll marry that. I will cuddle Fernando Tatis Jr., and I hate doing that over Acuna, but I also have to factor in team success. So I'll cuddle Tatis Jr. and I will trash. I don't even want to say trash. I will politely discard Ronald Acuna Jr.
Right. You'll wrap that up tightly and just softly, gingerly put it away. Is this my thought, Rick, or this is how I think the voting will actually shake out?
How you think the voting is going to actually shake out?
Okay. I'm going to marry Tatis. I think the voters want to avoid giving it to a pitcher if humanly possible, although I think he deserves it. I will cuddle Jacob DeGrom, and I will agree with Chris. I will not trash, because that would be very disrespectful, but I will softly open the lid and place it gingerly away, and that would be Ronald Acuna Jr.
All right, well done, fellas. There you go. Tuesday edition. Cuddle, marry, trash.
Oh, very well done. I'm glad you won the vote. You did a very, very nice job there.
Thanks for listening to the DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg podcast.
I have nothing left.
Hear more of DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg live weekday mornings from 5 to 8 a.m. on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play ESPN New York 98.7.